Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
Boys.
Yeah.
Well, the boys are here.
They're nervous. They're calm.
Boysies.
Get rarer.
Why is this happening to me?
Me.
We're not getting Maccas and you can blame my son.
Get a few today, did you?
It's great to contractually be obliged to be here. Thank
you. Is anyone going to listen to this or what?
No, I actually don't know what happens in third grade.
You either get nude or get in the shower. Or we're throwing all your cricket gear in, bro.
Yeah, I was like, no chance I'm going to fall you.
19th century Pax Britannica.
Fuck! Well, 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 well. I think this nation is gripped with two things, World Cup fever and a fair bit of rain. Of course, we are talking about Group 1 and Group 2 of the World Cup. There are some sensational games happening. Also, a couple of books knocking about, Tim Payne, Faf du Plessis. And there's some hope in our hearts for the future because a young debutante in the Sheffield Shooters scored a 300 ball, 100 red. Pete Hansen doing some stuff as well. That's all before we get into hashtag Ask TJC. We're asking the big questions, mainly about MyCricket/PlayHQ. They're all really big questions. This episode is brought to you by Budgie Smuggler. As you know, they all are. The new range of underwear. Use the code ALPHA at checkout for 20% off at budgiesmuggler.com. My name is Ian Higgins. Sam Perry is gripped with World Cup fever and he's dripping wet.
That feels a bit that feels a bit AFP, that description. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. It just feels a bit AFP. No, there was a – look, people who listen to the daily shows or whatever the fuck we're calling them, Tubbs. Getting in the Tubbs.
Telling you about stuff.
Telling you about stuff. Telling you about sensations. That we were saying – like there was a moment with Zimbabwe versus Bangladesh – where I was like, nah, this is a bit of World Cup shit here.
Yes.
Firstly, the games had made their way to a place with some sun, right, which was handy.
Yes.
But you don't often see Zimbabwe and Bangladesh knocking about against each other. Mm-mm. In Brisbane, mm-hmm, like with all of the feeling, all of the mm-hmm vibration of the Gabba, the hue of the light, we talked about it before, mm-hmm, the teal seats, the general smell of 4X through the TV.
Right.
You don't get to see that very often.
Just and a hint of aggression in the air as well.
Of course. Absolutely. That's part of it. The ball flying through a little bit. No one really knowing how to assess that wicket.
Yep.
It can be described every single way possible.
Yep.
You know, it's fast. It's good for the bowlers, yep, but it's actually good for the batters.
You get full value for shots.
You get full value for shots. Shane Warne loved bowling there, so good for spin.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
It's really difficult to
wicket
know.
Wicket keepers, catching the ball, fingers pointing up.
That's right. You want to bowl first. Like, you can get any sort of analysis you want.
Like NASA did some stuff there one time.
That's right. Yeah. You want to find out about like whether vaccinations are worthy. Anything into the internet, something will back it up. It's the same with the Gabba wicket.
Yep.
But both sets of fans, like, and you know, good contrast of like Zimbabwean fans,
yep,
Bangladeshi fans, yep, blokes in Akubras.
Yes.
Definitely not from Zimbabwe.
Love it.
More sort of Mount Isa types coming on down, chanting for Zimbabwe.
Right.
You know, like, but it felt World Cup-y. You know, that's all
for
I'm saying.
For sure. No, 100% agree. It felt very much like a Denmark-Australia game in Qatar. Are they playing each other this year?
Yeah, Philip, we're playing everyone we did last time.
Except for human rights issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, there's none of them at our country.
That's right.
So we just sort of talk about what's going on, what's knocking about elsewhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, Pez, I just want to say at the top here, there's a bit of TGC admin. TBC admin to get
admin
through. Okay, at gradcricketer.com, you can get the Adam Zampa TGC collab Get Rarer lids. You can also get all the merchandise there for TGC. There's actually a new TGC playing shirt available. And Pez, the live show.
No names and numbers on the back of them.
Unfortunately, not just yet, though I'm sure you can take that to a tailor or some description and get that done, if that's what you
with
want.
Your long lens camera.
Okay, live show. Last week we announced live show dates. The pre-sale tickets have gone gangbusters, and a couple of shows have already sold out in different cities. Sydney has already sold out, and Perth has already sold out, so you can't get any more tickets there. No, you can get, there's a second show now for Sydney.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Sydney sold out almost exclusively to Patreon, which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to those who signed up and those who've been part of Patreon and backing us in that way. So we've got a second show going there. Perth's gone. We haven't played there in a couple of years, actually, like 3 or 4 years. So that's very cool.
Yep.
And yeah, Brisbane, Adelaide, and Melbourne moving super quickly as well. So really excited to get back on stage, do a bit of road dog stuff, hitting the road, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been to a live show before, like, and especially women or the woman who's listening to this show, like, everyone is welcome. We had questions from women writing in going like, is this sort of an all blokes thing? Which is a really horrifying thing to read, that people might feel like the need to ask that question. Everyone's welcome at the show. There's just a higher concentration of toxic white blokes who've played cricket.
There's a longer line for the men's bathroom.
That's right. And that's sort of, it's in, yeah, that's right. And that's all in the image of its hosts.
Okay. So as of today, that's Monday, general public tickets are available as of 9 o'clock this morning. So you jump online, go to greycricketer.com, and you can see the dates there and the guests that we've got lined up.
Fuck me. Yeah. It's, so far, we have got in Melbourne, I don't even know which one to start. Let's just say friend of the show to kick off with the two Sydney shows now. It's agreed to the second one too.
Yes.
Is Watto. Shane Watson in the flesh. He played cricket during a pretty interesting period, I would have thought.
Yep.
And there was a couple of interesting blokes knocking about around the time that might be interesting to speak to him about. Well, I mean, really, like, and this is what the live show is all about. It's essentially the ultimate question in cricket of what's he like as a bloke.
Right.
Both the interviewee
and
then the people they played with.
Yes.
And in the past, we've had some pretty interesting answers.
Yes.
The second guest is a bloke people might have heard of. It's for the first and only current Melbourne show. It's Ricky Ponting. So Ricky Ponting is going to be the guest at the Melbourne show,
right? That,
and then for Brisbane, there's another guest. Just to keep the theme of top order batting going in Australia, we've got along Justin Langer as a guest for the Brisbane show,
right?
And tickets there are moving much more quickly than we than they normally do. In Brisbane, so...
Yeah, that's at the Princess Theatre, which has been revamped, and that's a fucking wonderful venue. Not just a wonderful venue, a fucking wonderful venue.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really pumped to get back to Brisbane, because, it's obviously been a minute since we've been on the road in Australia.
Bit to talk
speaking,
about. So bit to talk about in live shows as well that you can't quite cover on the podcast.
Yeah, and we're doing a one-off one this week in Melbourne. That's already sold out, obviously, but that's going to be great with Will Pekowski.
Bit of news about him knocking about as well. So if you are... if you're wondering whether he's going to be asked about the news that he's taken an indefinite leave of absence from cricket, well then we'll talk to him on the phone. We'll have to ask you. He's like, yeah, fair enough.
Mm.
So congrats to those who are coming along.
Congrats. Patreon.com/greycricketer for all the daily content of the World Cup. Let's get into the World Cup, Pez, because this has been such a great World Cup. There's been close games there. The bowlers are involved. It's lower scores than what you see in other tournaments. There are teams getting bowled out, 8-9 down. I think it's a really even contest. It's bringing everyone into the tournament, including the quote-unquote minnows. And unfortunately, though, there has been a fair bit of rain knocking about, especially in Melbourne. To the point where grey cricket in Melbourne has not played yet. They have had 5 washouts in a row. That's how wet it's been. It's also been really enlightening to learn via Twitter from English people that it's rainy season.
It's rainy season.
It's rainy season in Australia. It's a famous rainy season. Why would you schedule a tournament in the rainy season? The fuck is that? What the fuck is rainy season? It does not exist.
Yeah.
It's just fucking La Nina, you dopey.
I wanted that.
There is no such thing as rainy season.
Yeah.
Current UK Prime Minister for this week has pulled out of some climate stuff as well. So if you want to sort that out before you start calling Australia a rainy season place.
Yeah. You can only make comments on weather unless you're completely perfect on your climate
credentials.
That's right.
What are the Japanese doing?
Australia's the... Yeah, it's not just people saying it's rainy season, whatever the fuck that is. I've never heard of that. Like, it's amazing how like defensive you can get about your own weather when like people from away from your country are starting to talk about the water that happens in your country.
I didn't realize I cared so much.
Yeah, you don't have a fucking clue about my life. You know, don't you dare walk in here.
Fucking
and
dare
I'm not
you.
Even coming from the perspective of like, oh, it rains where you are, or you have more. It's nothing to do with that. It's like, don't fucking waltz in here and talk about our weather.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Even if the weather in Melbourne to other places is very different and disappointing at times when you're not from here.
Yeah.
This is the driest continent on earth. Farmers and people and punters are getting fucking smashed with water. And it is an anomaly. To your point, like grade cricket hasn't got on down here for like its season hasn't started.
Yeah,
it's called La Nina. Yep. It's happening. It's the fact that a lot of the criticism is allied with this other suggestion that like, why don't they just move venues?
It's just like, God.
So hang on, let's fucking step through this. Let's go
down the road.
Let's
Pez.
Go for the first one.
Yeah,
where people are like. Well, they've got a venue that's got a roof. Why don't you just move there? All right, fucking Einstein. Here we go.
Here we go.
Come on. 24 hours out from India v. Pakistan. Right, there's 100,000 tickets 100,000
tickets.
It's meant to, there's 85% chance of rain. Got up to 90% if you're looking at your iPhone app, and I think we all are.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing then? Fucking Brainiac. Do half the people get the tickets?
Yeah, what are we doing? 54,000 capacity at Marvel. Okay. So, best dress, mate.
What happens there? What about the quality? Like, what about the level of the ticket? What about the fact that the fucking dirt bikes are on there and they...
The monster trucks
the
are on.
The monster trucks are on. The fucking dirt bikes are going.
What are the blokes with fucking, monster energy flat brims supposed to do? Where are they supposed to go?
They booked it. First in best dress. They talked to the council.
Yeah.
And the AFL who own that stadium.
That's right.
I reckon the AFL's letting you have that stadium.
It's like an Airbnb. Booked out.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Can't do it on that weekend. Booked out. I don't know why I'm talking like that.
Who are those dirt bike guys that used to kick around with the BBL and stuff? They do their fucking, they do the like synchronized. Ah, God, fuck. Damn it. Damn it.
Is it like Krusty Demons?
Krusty Demons. Woo! What about the Krusty Demons? It's not to be confused with the Melbourne Demons. You fucking think about that? Blokes in the fucking UK Telegraph, doing deep analysis on the rainy season. Did you think about the Krusty Demons? Very, very well done from you there. okay. Then people are saying, but there's other states you can play in. All right, let's just hop on a plane. Fucking planes are going pretty well these days too. Airport, they'll be able to accommodate all of that.
Yeah.
And with India, Pakistan, for example, this is what happens in cricket. The forecast says it's going to rain. Look what happened. It was a fucking great night. The gods smile on it.
Didn't rain.
So when do you make the call to do it?
Yeah.
Nah, it's going to rain in 2 days. Mm. Have you been to Australia?
Yeah.
Forecasts wrong all the time. Like they just have to go, I think it's looking like it's raining.
Also,
sometimes it can just, the clouds can part.
It is very frustrating when cricket is washed out. That's a problem of the sport.
Mm.
I don't know why we're going to say patriotic about the weather
amazing.
Of our own country,
I'm
fucking wound up now. But what about, people who are annoyed, they're just watching it on television, okay? So then the broadcasters have to get involved. So just pick up all the people traveling around with the cricket, of which there are probably thousands, to like put the thing on a fucking box so you can like just make a shit comment on YouTube about it. It's like, hey, shit, Coley can't catch.
Yeah, I know, like all of cricket and the just entire, everything, like all of sport, like the whole economy around it, the full-time jobs, the enslaving of workers for, the World Cup in Qatar. Right. Okay, we won't get a job there now, who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm. Good stadiums, but.
It's all with a view to people just being able to walk past with something else on, holding their phone, looking up once and then sniffing if something good happens. That's the life of convenience that we leave. But obviously just move states. I just love to know, when are you meant to make that call? Like it's like 3 days out, it's looking like a bit of rain knocking about here. Let's move cities.
Oh, Australia, England was watched. I was going to watch four overs of that.
Just give a call. Yes. Is Krusty Demons on there? Was it-
Are the KDs on? anyway, sorry about the rain.
Sorry about the rain. Zampa's Instagram was good.
Really good.
Yeah,
he just
kept putting Kramer up, just saying, we love it in the slop.
There.
Love it in the slop. Yeah. You know? I'm not going to do that.
His mother was a mutter.
Anyway. Yeah, okay. So, fuck, bit of work, mate. We've been living in Melbourne too long, getting defensive about rain. Bit of rain. Fuck me.
I'm looking forward to the live show on Wednesday. We get brought patriotic about it.
Mm.
Okay, let's talk about Group 1, Pez. Group 1 horses. That is Australia, England, New Zealand, Afghanistan, Ireland, Sri Lanka. Not necessarily in that order by any metric. But that is in that group. That is who is in that group. And Let's start with Australia because that's who we go for sometimes. They're on the brink, man, after that washout. Yeah. Australia currently a fourth in the... Now, obviously, people listen to this at different times of the week, so this is going to change 95 times. Right. And that's why you should sign up to Patreon. So Australia need to win their remaining games, which is against Ireland, which is tonight at the Gabba, and then Afghanistan. I don't remember when they play, but they play them sometime this week.
At some point.
It's on Friday, actually. It's on Friday.
That's what TJ... That is the brand, unique selling point of TJC. There is a lot of podcasts and a lot of other offerings out there that will tell you precisely the statistic or piece of information you're after. Mm-hmm. But the grade cricketer, we guarantee you that if someone makes 82 not out, it will be described as 80 odd or 90 odd or some shit. Mm-hmm. Australia will play Afghanistan at some point week. I don't know.
Yeah. Perhaps, and neither do you.
Maybe I have a life, you know? But it's not to say if you know it, you don't have a life.
Right.
And maybe, yeah, anyway, I'm tying myself in knots here.
Anyway, so Australia play against those two teams. Now, you would think that Australia will win both those games. They will finish on 7 points. Of course, stranger things have happened, especially on Netflix. So that means that either New Zealand or England... okay, both those teams can't finish on 7 or more because the net run rate situation. The whole tournament, Pez, on either group is going to be net run rate, and that is going to be a factor. That's just how it is. I'm sorry, because rain is playing its part. Now, New Zealand, the top of the group, they play a massive game tomorrow night at Brisbane, I think.
It's everything.
New Zealand versus England.
Yeah.
If New Zealand win that game, Australia will almost definitely qualify Australia's for the semifinals. In the box seat.
Australia has to win its next two games and needs New Zealand to beat England. Otherwise, we're in net run rate scenarios and we're fucked.
If England beat New Zealand, their last game is against Sri Lanka.
Last game of the round. So they'll know what they need to do.
So England will also likely, if they win their two games, they'll finish on 7 points. Then it's a straight net run rate battle between New Zealand, England and Australia. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and Australia got absolutely pumped by New Zealand in that first game.
New Zealand will qualify because they also play against Ireland in their last game.
Ireland can play,
and they've already
except for tonight.
Yeah, they've already got their one win of the tournament. Mm. Job done for them.
And it was fucking hilarious.
It was a famous win. That was the highlight of my tournament so far.
And some wonderful cricket played by the Irish.
It was.
But also some wonderful umpiring done by Paul Wilson and Paul Rifle.
Yep.
I've never seen two blokes walk more slowly around the outfield. Paul Wilson in particular, wonderful job with the umbrella over his shoulder. Yes. Look at his sister. Look, we're trying to get on.
We're desperate to get on.
We're keen to play. And just managed to confer at the right time when Moeen Ali was about to win it for England.
Yes.
Just with six after six.
Yes. They were three balls away from winning the game.
Mm.
I got to say, though, England were very, very poor in that game. Ireland played well, but England were very poor on a wicket that had a lot to offer. Mark Wood bowled well again. It was a bit expensive, but he came back and took three for, I think, from memory. But England were way off it. Ireland, this is the theme, this is the trend of the tournament. Look what Zimbabwe is doing. Had a great win against Pakistan. Well-deserved win as well. Ireland doing some stuff. South Africa's in the tournament now. I mean, South Africa's not in the same mould as that. It's harsh on them, but you know what I mean. And you just fancy Sri Lanka can do some stuff as well. They've been poor a couple of times, but they also won the Asia Cup just recently. So they've got players that can do stuff as well.
It's almost as though the format is so volatile, allied with the weather, that you can't predict what's going to happen. And yet every day we've said, well, this will probably happen and this will probably happen. And you can guarantee that's not what's going to happen.
That's right.
I wonder with the World Cup, he goes whether like I've kind of enjoyed how cutthroat it is
in the sense that
you know, one slip, one bit of bad luck and your tournament's kind of fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a team like India who did lose last night, you know, you made the point that like they were like an over or two away from being out of the tournament with how they played against Pakistan as well. One bloke saved them.
Yep.
It's almost as though like we've been so used to and accustomed to commercialization in sport, meaning that like they fucking absolutely like they run these things right to the end to keep everybody involved. Everyone gets a chance. Everyone gets a certificate. All the kids are never out. No one ever gets hurt. Mm-hmm. We all get to watch heaps of content. And that it's really strange that we've now gone to this World Cup where it's like 12 teams, four places, one fuck up, you're out, tournament over.
Mm.
Australia's front-ended their games where like their main games have basically been in the first three.
Yeah.
It's only rain that's kept them alive, really.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, given how volatile T20 cricket is, I'm not even sure that by the end of the group stage it will have spat out the best four teams, because they haven't been able to play enough to get it, or enough of a sample size to work out, well, who actually deserves to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it on a personal level. As an adult, I can deal with that.
Yep.
You know, the slings and arrows and misfortunes of life and shit like that, mm-hmm. bad umpiring decisions, whatever. But, like, it does – it flies in the face and is in contrast to the 50-over World Cup, where, like, there's 10 teams and everyone plays everybody – like, so everyone plays nine games and it just keeps going on and on and on and on. They should flip that around. They should play them every day. You know, they're little pawns on the chessboard anyway. And I think you'd get a more deserving set of semi-finalists. Now, this is me getting ahead of Australia missing out. It's been strange but kind of compelling to have such stakes on every single game,
yep.
and to be at the whims of like the luck and misfortune that T20 can throw up.
And now rain is such a significant factor. Now, should we just get into group two whilst we're talking about it? Because
I just want to ask you before group two, okay. New Zealand, England's the big game.
It is the big game.
Tomorrow, and I mean, presuming Australia win tonight, if they don't win, then they don't deserve to be part of any conversation for the next 3 years. But and we are building to USA next 2024. But
I am,
yeah, me too. but New Zealand, England, New Zealand look impregnable, cannot be impregnated.
Yes,
and with a loss, and yet it's T20 cricket. So do they have a loss in them, New Zealand?
They have to lose because
they don't look like are they going undefeated through the group?
I know. Is it impossible for a team to go undefeated through a World Cup? Because you just, like, statistically, so you lose like at least every third game.
Yeah.
Third, fourth game.
So have they got a loss in them?
I think they'll have to lose.
Are they about to suffer the loss they had to have?
Yes, I think so.
The loss that everyone else had to have?
I think it's also stars are aligning for another New Zealand-India semi-final. We know what happens there.
And Indians are very afraid of that.
Very afraid.
Yeah.
And then whoever is in the other semi-final, that means they'll win because New Zealand obviously can't get it done in the last game. Although, hasn't every country won a World Cup except for New Zealand, a T20 World Cup?
I don't know.
So I think it's actually New Zealand's turn.
Right.
That's just how it works.
Is it?
It's just a big game of fucking Wheel of Fortune.
You're entitled to be skeptical about New Zealand, though. Just given the way they fuck around at the back end, 100%. You know, and knock everyone out, then 100%. Fuck up themselves. I'd like to see New Zealand and the story of New Zealand, like, shift, you know, like they're everyone's second favourite team.
Right.
We appreciate what they do with small resources, but they're just quite good. So now the spotlight's on them. What can you do? Now, should be being nice to them, really, because kind of need them to do something for us tomorrow night.
Right.
But yeah.
But it just everything lines up with, like, no, it's impossible. You can't win that many games in a row.
England are coming off a loss, so they're due a win. It just, there's no momentum in T20 cricket. You're just trying to kind of like line up with the forces of life, right? You're trying to ride a wave that you're not in charge of, you know, guys coming in and out of form. It kind of annoys me. There's no trend line with it. But at the same time, you know, it's like gambling.
Okay.
How so? I don't know.
Group two. Pakistan are all but gone, which is just another factor of, like, if you've had your games front loaded with all the big teams at the beginning, you can be out of the tournament in two or three games. And that, although Pakistan, if they don't make the semis, it will be because they lost to Zimbabwe, who were full value for that game. They were sensational, to be fair. At the moment, India are top, Bangladesh are second, though they have played an extra game to South Africa. Is that right? No, South Africa's played three games now. No way, I'm confused. I think South Africa are now top.
South Africa 5 points, India was four.
Okay, that makes more sense. And then Pakistan are fifth without a win.
South Africa's undefeated. I doubt South Africa's won a T20 World Cup. They don't win shit.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
So
maybe they're due something. They got Bavuma. They've got Bavuma opening the batting and captaining, and he's
was okay last night.
Yeah. Okay. 10. Yeah. 10 off 12 or something like that.
New ball wicket.
Pakistan beat Netherlands as well in the game before, so they're on 2 points. But Pakistan are basically gone, and it looks like an India, South Africa top two in that group, although, of course, everything can change very quickly. And to that mold, on Wednesday night, India are playing against Bangladesh in Adelaide, and there's rain forecast there.
Oh,
now,
nice.
That's 48 hours out, so that's going to change 17 times.
Well, they should move the game.
They should move the game now, just in case of any precipitation.
They should move it somewhere where it's not rainy season in Australia.
Good point. So, okay, India, as I said before, could almost be out of the group because they lost last night in Perth in a fucking – it was actually a really good game. The bowling from South Africa, holy shit. That deck was bouncy as fuck. I've not seen a bouncier deck since like the peak Wacker days.
It was Brett Lee Wacker days.
It was fucking lightning.
Yeah.
For Aidan Markram, first slip to Norky and Rabada, he was like almost outside the ring. Unbelievable fuck pace.
Yeah. I like it. It gets the cockles up for me.
Cockles are up.
I don't know about you.
Cockles are up.
I see a lot of T20 cricket on, you know, like Indian wickets, domestic franchise tournaments. I mean, we cover the IPL, so it's sort of disproportionate. But like a lot of the wickets are in the BBL because they're being used so much. They're worn, they're dead, or they're slow.
Mm-hmm.
So I quite liked seeing, and I just, you know, Perth and Brisbane and the identity of those places, you know, connects me with you know, the rawness of Australian times gone by.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing it. And they are throwing up, you know, little 150, 160 games that where every over matters.
Mm-hmm. Zimbabwe, as I said before, have been very impressive. Now, they're playing against India in the last game of all rounds. It's on Sunday coming up at the MCG. If India beat Bangladesh and Zimbabwe, that will definitely be through, and they will finish. Well, it depends how South Africa go. Fucking, there's so many permutations, and this is gonna change so quickly. Almost like every day it changes. Almost, just give myself a bit of wiggle room there. But that game at the MCG on Sunday, rather, we understand that it's almost sold out. So that's going to be absolute scenes as well. And Zimbabwe actually aren't even out of the picture just yet.
So it was reported. I don't know how true this is, but. A couple of days ago, it was reported that Australia, the game between Australia and England, you know, the old foes, at the historic MCG in a high-stakes World Cup match, had sold 60,000 tickets. And this was before we knew about the weather. So this was people just on face value going, well, this is where – it's Friday night.
Friday night.
Post work.
Yep.
Head on down to the MCG, 60,000 sold. The next day, it was reported – sent through to us from someone who is pretty close to it all, that 80,000 tickets have been sold to the MCG for the Sunday fixture between India and Zimbabwe.
Yes.
That's just phenomenal stuff for me. And that's going to be pretty good sight.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty good. Like, because the Zimbabwean fans as
have
well.
Have been fucking awesome.
They've been awesome.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. I think it's supposed to rain every day in Melbourne until Friday this week.
Oh, so but the ground should be good.
It is supposed to be okay on the weekends, though, of course. Things can change in this rainy season. Anything else from Group 2?
Well, I guess Kohli dropped the catch and Pakistan's now in trouble.
Yes. Pakistan they need to win their last two games against South Africa and Bangladesh. I think that's who they play. They need to win both those games and some other results need to go their way. But they're also in a net run rate position as well. Harris Ralph bowled a bumper to one of the Dutch guys and went through his grill and hit him in the eye. Fuck, that's scary shit, man. Was that it? Where was that game? That was the pre-game
before
Perth as well. Yeah. Oh, my God. Fucking hell.
That was just straight up grill. That was just big old grill town.
Twos for me.
Yes. People at West going, well, you know, we sort of made him work hard. You got to do it in twos first.
You have to. And he did, and he got his chance later in the World Cup.
Well, I think that was a great analysis of the World Cup.
I think so, mate. It's very hard to talk about, isn't it, when, you know, things change so quickly. It's such a great World Cup. But, yeah, if you want our daily videos, go onto Patreon or just watch it on YouTube and you get all of our stuff there. All right, Pez, should we thank our dear friends at Budgie Smuggler?
Of course we should.
This week who've just completed the Ordinary Rig competition. Yeah. There at the Ivy Pool Bar.
Some great clips coming through. Once again, the ISIS is after us. What did we say this time? Was it the Qatar stuff? they had the Ordinary Rig at the Ivy Bar there. Some wonderful clips knocking about across the socials. A couple of Ordinary Rigs kicking about. It looked like a lot of fun as per usual.
Yes.
And for a very, very good cause. They have released underwear. They're fucking coming. And we're not going to mention the brand they're coming after, but they're coming. They're coming. This is a great Australian brand, Budgie Smuggler, in the making, fledgling, and well led by a bloke who's come onto this show and talked about showering with the state guys. Now, can that other brand do that? I don't know. This underwear was released last week, launched last week, built for Australia, lightweight, breathable. You can get it in your favorite smuggler prints. Every pair you buy, of every pair you buy, $1 goes to the Black Dog Institute so people can feel good both literally about the fabric and the product, where it's from, but also about the broader impact they're having in the community. You can get a pair for $29 or you can get five pairs for $105. Now, if you use the code ALPHA at checkout, you are going to get 20% off that bad boy. It's valid till November 5 only, though. So you got from the time of recording, TikTok. That is 6 days, 5 days, or some shit. Get around that underwear, light and breathable, really good for Australia, really good for community impact.
Until Saturday.
Really good for Saturday. Supporting Australian business as well.
All right. Now, we also need to thank our friends at T20 Stars. Now, we said before about grade cricket not starting in Victoria, five washouts in a row. Maybe it never happened before. Maybe it has happened before. But it doesn't feel like it's happened before in this rainy season, of course, that we're having. So, in many ways, Pez, pre-season is still upon us.
You still get your kit.
You still get your kit for pre-season. You can do your beach runs. Wearing some wet weather gear, of course, as well. But pre-season is still here. New kit. If you want new kit just to feel something in the hands, T20 Stars.
T20 Stars, you can get 15% off as well. Not even using a code. I think it's just there for you. If you want, you don't have to enter a code. You don't have to use your digits.
Unbelievable. So
protect those digits.
Time saver.
Because it's fucking cold out there and wet, so you need to protect them. August hands has come through to October hands and November hands due to the aforementioned rainy season.
Right. But
15% off on the T20 Stars website for all their cricket gear bundles, bats, pads and gloves. T20 Stars has taken off. I know the Watto stable is adding cricketers to it as well. It's going well. A lot of people have been asking about the interview that we did with Watto that we put up for one day before it goes down. Now, obviously, as has been suggested and is correct, RCB had one look at it and said no thank you. And interestingly enough, that interview will resurface on November 7th when Watto's book comes out as well. I'm not going to do any explanation other than to say the interview will be back up.
Back up
on November 7th.
It's better to just create some controversy.
To be fair, there's nothing to do with RCB. If anyone officious is going to fucking talk about that, it was zero to do with RCB. I'm making a very indulgent reference to some shit that happened 2 years ago.
I would like that very much if that turned up in the Times of India. RCB involved in another mysterious taking down of TJC video.
But T20stars.com for your 15% off all bundles. Get that kit. It's obviously pre-season for most of us because it's still rainy season in Australia.
Okay, a couple of books knocking about at the moment, Pez, as well as Watto's. Do you want to talk about Faf du Plessis' book?
Faf versus Paney. Both have got some good stuff in their serializations.
A couple of New York Times bestsellers on their way.
I think the most wheelhouse one is what Faf said about Daryl Cullinan.
Yeah.
It's a bit of it almost reads like an Ask TJC. It's a bit of a buckle up if I could read it to the audience.
I am fucking buckled.
So this is from Faf's new book,
right?
And very very sloppily of me, I don't actually know the name of the book, but there may be another opportunity.
I think it's without like through the fire,
into the fire, into or the so fire. Something to do with fire.
Something to do with fire.
And there's a picture of him in a towel on the front page.
Fire and ice.
Front page. Fire.
Sorry, Faf.
So here's what he says about Daryl Cullinan, and I'd like your response. He goes, shortly after I finished school, he's writing the first person here, shortly after I finished school, the then provincial teams merged to form franchises. Northern Titans and Easterns merged, and Dave Nosworthy was appointed as coach and Daryl Cullinan as captain.
Yep.
The new team, now we know Daryl Cullinan, obviously.
We know DC.
DC. Very talented player for South Africa. Shane Warne's bunny. It was incredible. He was actually seeing a counsellor about Shane Warne, and then Shane Warne started asking what colour the couch was.
Brilliant.
Anyway, the new team included established players such as Daryl, Albie Morkel, Andre Nell, and Xander De Bruin. It affected my place in the ranking, and it would be difficult to get a place in the starting 11. Fortunately, the franchise had high hopes for me. The older players started calling my name, and I was included in the group as the rookie, which made me sign a rookie contract. During our first game at Centurion Park, about 15 players met in the dressing room for Noz to welcome us to this new environment. I was bowled over when I saw Daryl sitting there. Here I am, a rookie, and I share a dressing room with one of the most talented batsmen of his generation. I resolved to do everything in my power to learn as much as possible from him. I knew I would have to earn my place in the starting 11, but the presence of this Protea legend made the merger an incredible opportunity for me to grow. I took my cricket bag and sat next to him. As I was taught at Affy's, I greeted him with a respectful, "Hello, sir." Noz joined us and started giving a generic speech. "Welcome, everyone. Everything is new and we will all need time to get used to it, but let's make the most of this opportunity. Team selections will be difficult, but..." I wasn't really paying attention. I was sitting next to one of my heroes. Then a few minutes into the speech, Daryl raised his hand and told the coach to shut up. Then he turned to me. "What the fuck are you doing next to me? Why the fuck are you sitting here?" The dressing room fell dead silent. Noz tried to brush off this interruption and continued talking. But after a minute or so, Daryl interrupted again. "No, stop." He then turned to me. "Youngster, take your bag and fuck off. Jacques Rudolph is a test player and he's not even sitting next to me. He sits on a chair, but you sit on a fucking sofa." I froze. I froze. "Take your bag and sit in the bath," he continued to scold. "You don't deserve to sit here." Jacques replied that he didn't mind sitting on a chair, but that only made the awkwardness worse. I hung my head in shame. In a matter of moments, the idol from my childhood went from hero to zero. I lost all respect and admiration for him. That day, I resolved never to speak to anyone or act the way he had just done to me, and I kept that promise when I became Protea captain. Fortunately, this kind of behaviour was not part of the Protea environment I was introduced to under Graham Smith's leadership.
Fuck me.
Now, that's funny, but like that's obviously rank bullying and a bad experience for Faf du Plessis. I believe that, you know, tragedy plus time applies here. We know what became of Faf du Plessis, the all-time alpha, which is why I think that's funny. Just a defense of laughing at that, but sit in the bath.
I'm laughing at it because of the it's absurd.
Yeah.
That's absurd humor.
Kind of believable, though. Kind of believable.
Yeah. Oh, entirely believable. Because I never witnessed that when I was playing for South Africa. I never witnessed that level, but I definitely, you know, like was in environments where that is plausible, or that, you know, notion was ever present, or like even more than just like an undertone.
Yeah.
More of an overtone. It wasn't an overtone in the sense that it literally happened like that, but I just remember thinking like, "You're not allowed to sit there unless you've played this many games." I'm talking about fucking grade cricket. If you come up from fours to threes, there is a fucking hierarchy. So I can fully believe that happens. Not that there's any reason for it to like not have happened, but because test cricketers and professional cricketers are like, "No, I'm a test player. I'm one of the..." Daryl Cullen was one of the best players to ever play for South Africa at that time. And so I can imagine like him just wanting him to be surrounded by people that he thought were of his ilk. And it's just like, what a fucking piece of shit. You know, like how can you treat someone like that in your own team? Your own teammate. Yeah, that's exactly what we talk about all the time. That's what happens in grade cricket.
But your teammates actually like that. It's the way you would write it if you were like kind of writing a fiction of how those things happen, and then you take it into the realm of the absurd. Like, "Then I interrupted, no, stop." And he continues a minute later to scold him and then instruct him to move into the bath.
Yeah.
Like the other guy just go like, I'm fine on a chair, yeah, mate. You know, like it's quite comic.
Also, it sounds like the coach had started speaking and then about halfway through, he was like, "No, stop everything. Why are you sitting next to me?" Like, it wasn't like he sat down next to me like, "No, you go over there." He'd like, been there for a while.
Yeah. And I like how Faf sets it up as well. Like, he's like, I can't even hear the coach talk.
I'm just lost in this moment.
Yeah, like,
meet
your
heroes.
I can't believe I'm in the realm, in the orbit of this hero of mine. Yeah. I think that's good from Faf. That's just 100%. Great. Like,
you're the reason why I played cricket.
Yeah, like, when these guys write books, like, I must admit, they obviously compile these stories through their career, and they decide like who they want to line up and who they don't. And obviously, like, you know, we see this in cricket from time to time. You know, a couple of people lined up on JL, I thought, when things were going south for him. But like, people have memories, you know, and they go, it's one of those things, like, in those lessons in life is like, you know, what is it like, you know, don't smash people who are on the way down or something, because they'll get you on the way up, or who are on their way up because they'll get you when you're on the way down. Yeah, or some shit. Mm-hmm. Well said. I noted, like, friend of the show, Dan Bredig, reporter, journalist par excellence, he wrote on Twitter, it's quite a phenomenon to learn how much men's cricket dressing room culture for years and years was basically just about senior players punching down at every opportunity because that's what had happened to them. This was on Twitter, and he was quote tweeting this extract from Faf, and there was a reply from Mark Waugh, who said, June said, well, I can tell that was not the case in the era I played for Australia. Mm. Everybody was treated equally and respectfully, which I think that's actually quite heartening to hear. It's good to know that that didn't happen in Australian cricket at
Thank
that time.
God. Yeah.
That few things around that theme existed. It was much more equal,
it was
egalitarian
open.
Space.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, in contrast, there are players, some of whom we interviewed quite recently, who quite openly said that it wasn't the case even in 2015.
Yeah.
That people were treated equally.
Things might have changed.
So maybe, things might have gotten worse.
That's right.
Kind of regressed.
Yeah.
But at least in Mark Waugh's time, none of that existed.
Well, it's funny because there's quite a number of accounts from guys who have had their sort of lives decimated publicly because of the treatment they received, you know, in that sort of environment. But we know that those people are liars, so.
Yeah, I mean, so people picked up on, like, well, what about Scott Muller? It's like, well, no, that was answered. That was a cameraman. That was not a
– No, that's no
that
problem.
That wasn't a player.
And to be fair, he was shit.
I have a story about this. So I'm afraid
I just want to say that that's a joke. That's I don't know Scott.
Yeah.
I
have a reverse story on that front. Like, and I'm afraid I might have told before, so I apologize if I have. But in when I was playing under 16s cricket,
mm-hmm.
I think, and you would know this story. So I was playing Green Shield maybe, or maybe I was a year out or something.
Mm-hmm.
The Aussies came and trained at Drummoyne Oval.
All right.
I was playing for Balmain.
Yeah.
And it was, I got to training and they had the ground. And I'll just never forget, must have been 2003, 2002,
It's the team.
Yeah. It was a one-day team. So it was one-day cricket they were training for. And a couple of memories I have are Andrew Simons just popping balls onto the hill at Drummoyne, like he was literally just drop kicking them, just clearing the infield.
What an
and
athlete.
It was just incredible. And it was one of those ones where you see spinners bowl in the flesh, and even with Warney, I was like, it's so much faster, mm-hmm. you know, than on TV.
Yep.
And the other thing I remember is Ponting's fielding. And just a couple of catches he was taking, I was like, fuck me. And we all felt amazingly, it was one of those things where you're just really inspired by how good people are in the flesh, because they're at your training ground, you're about to train, you just see how much faster and more skillfully they do everything. But there was this one point where Warney came off the field, and our change room had been converted into the Aussie change room, and it had tables with fruit and sandwiches and all this stuff and whatever. And I walked in and there was another guy I played with. I'm not going to say his name, but Warney walked in the same time and was sitting in the corner
mm-hmm.
Of the room. And my mate said, "That's Pez's seat." And I fucking died of embarrassment. This guy who said it, right? You know, I wanted to go on with cricket, and obviously, have done more in cricket. Not heaps, but I kept playing. I know this guy was he was in his last year of cricket. He liked music and other shit. And
sure.
He was good as a junior and was – so he wasn't, you know – to him, he hadn't committed some fucking, horrendous cardinal
sin.
Did
he say it ironically?
No. He's like, that's Pez's seat. And I just remember Warren looking up completely bemused by what had gone on.
And like, fuck, mate,
I wanted to, no, but he wasn't even like, he didn't fully engage with it. I think he's just like, what the fuck is this? And I wanted to fucking melt into the ground. Yeah. I can't even remember. I think I must have walked out or something because nothing else happened after that.
Did you make like a weird noise? Like,
no, I don't. I might have. I could have. But just thinking about like where people are sitting and stuff. So basically my mate was like, you know, he was ahead of his time. He's like, well, that's actually a pisser seat.
I got to say though, I do understand the, in the dressing room, there is a hierarchy of which position in the home dressing room. There are prior seats.
Yeah.
The worst seat you can get is anywhere near the bathroom, near the toilet, near the cubicle in the dressing room. Showers, typically no good. People like walking through your sort of domain where all your kid is hanging out.
It's wet. Bullshit though. Yeah. It's fucking bullshit, that stuff. Like I always felt
of
that way.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But I had my eyes on a seat and I got there in the end.
You know, like it's fucking Lord of the Flies, bitch. Not a hard enough fucking game. Of course. You walk in like you're in a new team.
Yeah.
And say like you're the fucking sixth to arrive, you know, of 11.
Yes.
And you got to, you got to take a breath and be like, all right, wherever I'm going to fucking slide my kit, someone's going to tell me that's fucking wrong. Oh,
then there's a fucking time master. Oh, is it?
Late. Yeah, exactly. You're like, it's so exhausting. I'm getting exhausted. I stopped playing 15 years ago, but it's like, oh, I can't go into a corner.
Yeah.
Where's the dressing room in relation to the bathroom? Yeah. Whose kit is that? Does he sit next to somebody?
What's his chat like?
Exactly. What's his chat like? Does he want to sit next to me? What's my relationship with him? Is this centered enough? Like,
is he closer to fours or twos?
Do guys have their kits on the ground or on the seat? Are you allowed to put it on the seat? What does the captain think about that? Oh, fucking hell. Like, it's so, you know.
It's before you even step on the field.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Someone's asking you if they can give you some money for sunscreen, as I did once. Yeah. Like, what, you know.
Anyone got a spare hat? Don't worry about it, boys. It's rainy season.
Okay, well, while we're here, we do have something in our notes of names for things that we'd like to call various properties of the great cricketer down the track. There is a lot in there, and one of them is... Anyone got a spare hat? I don't know what to call it yet, but something we call it. Anyone got a spare? That's an underrated thing that's said in the change room. Like every game,
every single game, it's always a bowler.
Yeah,
it's always a bowler. Spare got a spare hat.
Yeah, it has. I have been someone who's had to ask for that before, and you're always you got to get what you're given.
And
you always end up getting a hat that's like, you know, like I'm familiar with hats these days due to the follicle challenges. And, you know, there's nothing worse than getting like an old cap that's like weathered and is really shallow on the head, you know, like it doesn't even get over your head.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's a big lid, you know, at my end, but like just a really shallow weathered cap that's barely doing a job. It's not yours. You wonder it's where it's been. And you're like, that's what you get for not being organized.
I like the one where the spare hat is like, oh, I've got an old floppy. I don't think you want it though. And they pull it from like the depths of their kit and it's like a half folded falafel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a bit of food in there. Are you going to have a little naked burrito in it?
I've got this burrito bowl. Thoughts? And it's just...
You want this?
And then you can see the person who's asking for the spare hat. They're weighing up a decision. Like, do I want to wear this essentially a tea towel on my head for the rest of the day?
Yeah.
Or do I want the sun protection, you know, because it's UV 900?
Mm.
And they're like, oh, I'll actually be all right. My dad's coming later and that's always a lie, of course.
It's like it's very, very village in grade cricket to be requesting kit off anyone.
Well, it looks like you're not sponsored for a start.
But you know what I mean? Typically you should just be able to lend stuff around. People have what they have or whatever in some wheelie bin park shit.
Yeah.
But
hats, great
cricket. It's like whatever it is. Yeah, I've heard of clubs with wife swapping going on. They had to get a reverend in to fix it up.
Fix it up. Got to fix this up. Got to get a bloke in. How are you, Rev?
Yeah, a consultant from the church. Not to be confused with the consultant that CA got for Tim Payne, which we'll come to. But that was a nice little trip down some of the fucking unnecessary anxieties of cricket, but so necessary too.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to knock around with the other book as well?
Tim Payne's book.
Yeah,
okay.
Payne's book.
I'm just gonna just to summarise this as best I can. I'm gonna do it via Andrew McGlashan of ESPN Cricket.
Okay,
I wrote an article Nasher. On this a few days ago.
Good journo, Nasher. By the way,
I've never met him.
Yeah. Oh, so you won't confirm yourself? I'm saying as
I said with my own eyes first.
It wasn't a question.
Have a look at up and down.
Just trying to say something nice about it.
I got a fucking up and down at first. I got a
cop an optic. Fuck it.
What is it, shoulders, chest? What are we looking at?
Yeah, it's a good optic.
A little hunch on it.
He's a good bloke and a good good journalist.
I'm sure he is. Okay, he has written about Tim Payne. He documents how, after CA and his manager James Henderson had failed to stop the publication of the story last November, it became clear during a phone call with CA Chief Executive Nick Hockley and an unnamed consultant in Vernon Cobbins from outside the organisation that the board would not back him to remain as captain. This is after, obviously, the text thing.
Sorry, like the way you described that.
The consultant then said that the best way to get ahead of the story was if I stood down as captain, Payne writes. I was stunned by that, so was James. Who was this guy? What did he know about the circumstances? That was the first time anyone had mentioned me resigning as captain. There was no way I was doing that. I knew what had happened. Cricket Australia knew what had happened, and in my mind, this guy didn't know, or worse than that, it was like he believed that I had sexually harassed her. Then Nick chimed in, saying how experienced this guy was and how he thought I should listen to his advice. I said, do you want me to resign as test captain, Nick? He couldn't give me a straight answer, or wouldn't. He kept talking in circles. It was becoming obvious to what Cricket Australia wanted me to do, but they didn't have the courage to say it themselves. I hadn't seen it coming. It was obvious the board wanted me to resign, and I had no option if they weren't going to back me. I felt they were driven by the need to protect their image. They'd got in someone to look after them, and he decided that I had to be sacrificed to save them. They were hanging me out to dry. The morning after the phone call, Payne contacted Hockley and Richard Freudenstein, the interim CA chair, to say he would stand down. I was disappointed and I was tired of this. I was prepared to cop the flak for what I did, but in my mind, Cricket Australia had abandoned me and made it look like they thought I'd sexually harassed someone, and so everyone else would think so too. Those are the quotes in relation to his resigning as captain, Tim Payne resigning as captain. There's also been some other stuff that I've read about how much that affected him and how he was going on these like brutally long runs as like a, you know, it was like self-torture, I think it was described as, you know, but self-punishment maybe. And you were even reading some stuff before about saying like, you know, he thought it might be easier if he wasn't around at all.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's, I wonder if even Pez, if this book for Pain is in some way catharsis. I wonder, I don't know, I've never spoken to him, but like, you know, what he went through and his family and all of that and the shame, and it's all wrapped up in sandpaper, even though he took over after that, he was part of that team, and what the public felt about the team and him as leader and his position in the team. And I wonder how much pain he still carries from that, pardon the pun. And if this book is almost like catharsis, even if it is trying to change the narrative of what his perspective is, because he's allowed to feel whatever what he's feeling, right? And I think a lot of people have deep sympathy for him, and I include myself in that. I think his punishment and the treatment of him as a person and his family was just, I don't know if unjust is perhaps the right word, but I think it is just the highest stakes possible when you're the Australian captain and all the publicity and like what his crime, did the punishment fit his crime? And I don't know, I feel extreme sympathy for the position that he found himself in, though he was responsible for it. Not that he's ever shirked that responsibility. He has even said like, I can cop the flak for what I did and I did the wrong thing, but I still sense that he is trying to reconcile this in his own mind and his own life, because he's still a young guy, he'd be in his late 30s, you know, and this is perhaps what he will be remembered for, even if in the short term. And I think that's a really, really sad thing for him in his life.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point and easy to forget. I think when you know, celebrities or people of profile endure or have some of these scandals, like it feels like a cliche that we're desensitized to now, but like play out in public when you're just a punter, you know, like us, sometimes these people can just feel like they just seem like objects, you know,
character in a TV show.
Yeah, their character in a TV show. That's right. And you know, that like in a dark way, that is the business that they're in. But you're right. Like, I find the shame and pain of that situation like really quite unfathomable, really. Like, it must be so hard to go through to put your partner, I think, through that kind of ordeal, right. Really, you know, with a lot of these things, it's very much about not wanting to hurt others. You know, maybe, you know, cricket in particular probably breeds a certain thickness of skin and resilience, but not necessarily, but it might. But it, usually it's what it does to others that would be so difficult to go through. It's such an interesting one, isn't it? Like, you can go into the X's and O's of how they came to whatever decision they did. That question of, like, what is the appropriate reach of an organisation into the into judging the, let's call it the private lives of its employees, is just it's such a big area,
yeah.
And like, it's very. It requires some abstract thinking at times. There's overlaying things to consider. You know, with Cricket Australia, we've learnt through sandpaper very clearly, you know, that the behaviour of the team and the people that occupy that position is very important to Australian people, and it's important to the, the health of the, like, of the whole apparatus, you know, and the Australian captain is by extension held to the highest standard. And it was a story that was going to break, you know. But, you know, is there a scenario where, particularly given he was internally cleared by Cricket Australia with their integrity group several years ago, was there a scenario that existed where Cricket Australia said, yes, we cleared you, we looked at it, we cleared you, and we will support the idea that the only thing you need to do, Tim, is to square this with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
That is the mature adult thing to do. It's just that you have this overlaying, like personally, if it was just if I was the audience of one in that situation, that would be appropriate. That would be enough for me. That would be sufficient for me.
Right.
Right. Right. But it's more complicated than that, because if you've got the media who are prepared to run this scandal knowing that their business model is set for, drama and eyeballs on a story, that as tough as the advice may have been and as poorly or maybe as dubiously prepared or arranged or kind of set up as it may have been, what the consultant ultimately said, which is that this story will run on and on and on, appears to me to be probably a sound analysis of the situation. Crisis comms people do come in and tend to say that, I think, to say those kinds of things. It's more, it tends to be a more effective thing to say. But in the context of where Australian cricket was at the time, I can see why they may have arrived at a decision where, like, well, this will just overrun anything.
It's a story of the summer.
Yeah. but I can understand Payne's misgivings with, like, sitting on a call and you know, feeling as though people were kind of, if this is true, if what he writes is true.
Some like a lanyard. Nameless lanyard just goes like, get rid.
But it's otherwise really difficult to comment on. Like, I don't have much experience with, like, you know, the ousting of an Australian captain and the actual, you know, the what's an appropriate process to go through to organise a resignation, you know, to put it in such a way where they forced Payne to resign before the gun was turned on him, you know. But it seems to me that's what he's ultimately intimating. They just said, well, you know, sack yourself before we do.
It's funny because he doesn't get any benefit of doing it himself. He doesn't get any benefit, like public benefits of, you know, stepping down himself. You know, the story still breaks and he goes through all the pain and the shame of what happened anyway, and he's no longer in the cricket team. His career is ended. He's playing first class cricket now.
Mm.
He's playing for Tassie again. That's a really, really good and happy thing for his life, I'm sure, as some sort of reconciliation with the game and his relationship with it perhaps. But he doesn't get the he doesn't get the privacy either. So he's actually like lost it all. And you know, I can understand from his perspective where it's like it's been solved internally and then someone else comes in. But I agree with you, like if that story did break as it was going to, then that would have just been the story of the summer. And maybe it would have been worse than what it ended up being. Perhaps. I'm not sure, but...
I think it would have just resulted in the same outcome. Probably. At like high-level terms.
High-level terms,
just
yeah.
the end of the captaincy, and they wanted to get it done. But yeah, it's weird, really,
isn't it, man? Because like, as an adult, when you look at this, at what we understand of the case, and that is just through what's been written in the public, we don't know anything more than that. Well, I don't know anything more than that. It's like, fuck, I can just deal with that. You know, it's just that he shouldn't have done that, wrong thing to do. But like, yeah. fuck, should a guy be absolutely dragged through the coals where he's just in absolute bits over it? And, you know, has to carry that public shame. I don't know. I just think that's that is such a high price to pay for what happened.
Mm. Yeah. I had something else I was going to say, but I've completely forgotten it now. I think
Cam Greeny.
Yeah, Greeny. whatever the question is, the answer is green. I think the particularly curious thing about this is the initial clearing of him from the integrity unit or whatever, and then the abandoning of him upon it becoming public, which really from CA, which really just goes to show that that, you know, once the brand suffers is when Cricket Australia will let you go. But while that sounds like that may sound a bit callous, Jacques Callous.
Yeah, what a player.
What a player. Still underrated.
Somehow underrated.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Average 50. Yeah. I'm saying something about this stuff. I wonder what the conditions of the original clearing were. Like, it might have been wise for someone at CA, and maybe they did do this, I don't know, to say, look, you are cleared of this, though the moment it becomes public, the dimensions of this change, because it does start impacting other areas of the business, mm-hmm. the not-for-profit business, though, of around sponsors and brand and things like that. They were happy to keep it private and protect him in keeping it private, Cricket Australia, until such a time as it wasn't private anymore. So yep. I think that's quite rational, even if it seems harsh, you know.
There is an obvious third party in this as well. Now, probably should be careful. Probably,
yeah, not for me,
because there is, as far as I know, the ongoing legal dispute with the woman in question that Payne was texting. Now that it seemed to come to light when she was under investigation from Cricket Taz, was it? And then she raised this as sort of, it seemed like a bargaining chip. I'm going to stop talking because it's an ongoing legal issue, but you know, there is this third dimension of like, I think this is how this has been brought into light after it was sort of privately solved.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway. There was also stuff that said there's also a chapter in the book dedicated to the ball tampering on the South African tour. Although Payne does not implicate anyone else from within the Australian team, he writes that he was stunned when pictures of Cameron Bancroft with a piece of sandpaper were shown on the big screen. He quotes, "My heart sank. I was thinking, what the fuck?" A sense of dread came over us all. There's also some stuff saying that South Africa were doing some shit, and I think Supersport had some footage of them doing it, and then that ends up in the old recycling bin there.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The bottom right corner of the screen, just put that in the bin.
Not in our interests.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Hey, yeah, in the Sheffield Shield, Ashley Chandrasinghe, 119 red off 333 on debut versus Tasmania in Hobart. That makes you feel good. How old is he? Is he 20? Yeah. 19 or 20?
Yeah, 20, I think.
20. That's after Teague Wiley just scored a century, 18-year-old Teague Wiley.
That's what I need to see.
That makes you feel good, doesn't it? That makes you feel good.
Ashley Chandrasinghe, how old? I type in 20 years.
Is that underneath that wife?
yeah, net worth.
Yeah. Girlfriend?
Well, he's 21 on 7 December, so he's only got a month and a bit left. So he's really 21.
Well, yeah. And then he'll be 22 after that. Pete Hanscom also scored 95 in that DPS. His last three digs in first class cricket, 132, 281 red and 95.
Good.
So failure this innings, obviously, but
At this point with Hanscom is how does it look batting, you know? But I suppose Channel 9 doesn't have the rights anymore. So if Hanscom came into bat, he mightn't suffer just seven blokes who've retired saying I don't like how it looks because it doesn't look how it looked when I played.
Right.
So
well,
he's
going. He's going to the tour.
Runs.
He's going to India.
Okay.
Yeah, I've decided.
Chandrasinghe, every time there's just raps all over this bloke.
Yeah, big raps.
And people have been talking about him. It's one of those ones, like, every time he's a real, like, name in the paper guy of, like, oh, there's three figures next to his name again.
Yes.
He was, like, when I was up in Darwin, he was destroying the competition up there as well. Just always seemed to be making runs. He's a left-handed opening bat, so I'd imagine being at Victoria under the tutelage of Chris Rogers, who too was that.
I remember.
He's probably pretty handy too. So, you know, here's to blokes who make red ball tons who are young in Australia, because I feel like we need a couple of blokes coming through. For me to be able to walk past a TV from time to time and go like, oh, he's on 70.
Do you know what club he plays for?
Yeah, I think I noticed Damien Fleming was getting around him. And so I think that's Casey South Melbourne.
Okay.
I think he's a Casey South Melbourne boy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Fucking absolutely, I've fucked up there if he's not, but I'm pretty sure it's Casey South Melbourne.
But he plays for Randwick.
Yeah. He flies up.
He's a blue bagger.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you Googling it now?
Yeah, I'm Googling.
Got to get past net worth.
I don't know if I've got this right. Christ alive. Oh, hang on. We can do this. Yeah, he's Casey South Melbourne.
Nice. All right. Good stuff. Well, Australian test caps on the way.
100.
Because he's played 100 in one game. And yeah, as you said, Pez, unfortunately news broke last Friday of Will Bukowski, who's taking another indefinite leave from cricket, which is sad.
Yeah. Sometimes I think about this and I'm like, again, it's like, oh, yeah, but I needed someone to average 50 for Australia when I walk past the TV.
Yes.
You know, that's what I need. And, you know, what are we going to do? Go get that Dutch opening bat who looks like him?
Yeah, Max O'Dowd.
Max O'Dowd, the Dutch Bukowski, as you called him.
Dutch Bukowski.
Royalties to you.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to talking to him at the live show on Wednesday. You know, it's just one of those ones. Again, it's in a dimension that is difficult to understand, but I doubt any professional cricketer comes to that decision without good reason.
Yep.
You know, it's in the realm of wishing him the best and all the support possible.
It's in the realm of that. I won't it's be doing the, that, yeah, but it's getting close.
I'm in a realm. I'm not stepping into it. I still reserve the right to sort of have 6 or 7 beers and just kind of, you know, blithely judge it myself from the outside without any information, you know, say things out the side of my mouth, only open my mouth a quarter of the way so it's not let flies in to make it look like I was born and raised on the land, and also to connote a feeling of aggression when I talk.
I like
so it. That's why I'm only in the realm, because I want to step out of it sometimes.
Support for the Grey Cricketer is brought to you by Manscaped.
Oh, shit, that one.
Manscaped.com. Use the code TGC for 20% off. One of our favourite times of the week, talking about Manscaped.
Damn straight. Let's get this copy up, baby. Hey, there's some shit now. Hey, how about this? And this is no doubt a result of the absolutely amazing publicity we give Manscaped, you know, week to week. Well, obviously, Manscaped are excited to share that Manscaped is now available in Woolworths, Australia.
That's true, because I went to Woolies last night and I saw, verifying what I'm saying. No. That copy is often bullshit.
Yeah.
That's not bullshit, because I was at Woolies last night and I saw Manscaped like body wash or some shit.
Okay, so I don't know. I mean, I'm just clicking on the thing now. This is it actually says Oz Woolworths Fall 2022 copy. Well done.
Good stuff. It's always raining.
Manscaped is – this will be good, because this is some Australian shit here. Let's see what the talking points are.
All right.
Hand on heart, haven't seen these. Manscaped is taking over Australia just in time for the holidays. Okay, taking over Australia, that's fucking – that's a bit
– wow, okay. A little bit close to the bone.
Yeah, that's right. Their life-changing hygiene products are now available in all Woolworths Australia retail stores. Never forget, gifting Manscaped is the ultimate hack to become the family favourite.
It's a family favourite.
I tell you what, I was the ugly duckling until I discovered Manscaped.
Yeah.
And then I walked into my family and said, hey, my pubes are shaved. Like, well, straight to the top for you.
You're the favourite son.
Toppermost of the poppermost, boy. Make sure to swing by and pick up their signature lawnmower. See? Well, I mean, so in Australia, it's like, well, fuck, are they stocking lawnmowers? The most brilliant ball trimmer to bless the motherland. Join the 6 million men world. Once again, that number's no good. We need to change that because I doubt it's
retire
six.
Retire the number.
I doubt it's six. If I get anything else, make it 6.5, 5.5.
Hang it from the rafters.
Yeah. Easy. Who trust Manscaped by swinging by any Woolworths Australia or go to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code TGC. Right. Talking points. You heard it here first, lads. Manscaped is taking over Australia. Whether you're brand new or already with us, come on. I want to see if there's some Woolworths shit in here. Imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. No nut trimmer on. If you've been shaving with the same nut trimmer on your face, you've been doing it wrong. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth. There's nothing about Australia here. Like, it's just, again, skin-safe technology. Well, it's a great clipper.
You know how Woolworths are the fresh food people. Manscaped to the fresh balls people.
Fresh balls people. Yeah, that's good. That's nice.
Something.
Yeah.
Top me head.
Anyway, if you don't want to go to Woolies, you can go to manscaped.com and get 20% off. Seems like a sort of better deal and free shipping, but something else to say. Woolies Australia. You know, now that a US product is in Australia, we get excited.
Nah, fuck Woolies. Yeah, exactly. Dude, use the code TGC, 20% off, free shipping.
Yeah.
Job done. 6 points in a song. Fuck off.
Ask TGC this week's brought to you by Ponting Wines.
Yeah!
We're back.
Now we're talking. Ponting Wines. Now, this is something I can also get around. Actually, all the things we promote, I can get around. I've used T20 Stars, had a hit with it. I'm all over Budgie. Manscaped, see you later.
Ponting
Wines, delicious.
Ricky wouldn't be using Manscaped on his face because it's a fresh face for Punter. Though I did like it when he brought a bit of stubble to the game. When he was playing.
Gruff Ponting?
Yeah, gruff Ponting.
Definitely.
Into captain, early captaincy Ponting.
Definitely.
Like, goatee Ponting was just an earlier time. I was young.
Yeah.
It must have been a thing that people were doing. Like, I don't think it's a great look, personally, but I still respect it.
I liked it as a 90s, as a 90s look. That's how people looked in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I liked it as a, Ponting was 18 years old trying to make it with men who, yes, according to Mark Waugh, was letting everyone was equal and accepting, but you probably had to grow a goatee at 18 just to look like a man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Pez, I'm on pontingwines.com.au right now.
Yeah. Are you going to assess the website?
It's a fucking great website. Punter's having a hit in the backyard with his kids.
Well, let's have a talk about him having a hit here because I can see this picture too. And
Mate, we've got to get some of this in studio because I haven't had a drink in a while.
Yeah.
I've been off for about maybe a month.
I can confirm that.
Maybe a month or so, I think. Just a little tune-up for the summer. Just a little tune-up for the summer.
A little splash wouldn't go astray.
I'll have a splash.
So, yeah, have a splash.
Have a little splash.
Just as his son's bowling to him and and his daughter's at sort of a second, third slip.
Yes.
And his other one, his eldest, I believe, is keeping.
Right.
And it just looks to me like Punter is just shuffling across to access the leg side because there's a lot of freedom through there.
Do you remember the six he hit in the World Cup final 2003 off Ashish Neera when he hit into the fucking – that was an upper decker? That's what it looks like is going on here.
For me, that was like 2003 Ponting in that game, that particular game, though he's obviously – I'm still red ball first.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the most indestructible I had seen Ricky Ponting.
I agree with that.
That was he can't be touched.
No.
That was some fucking high-level stuff. He had one summer, didn't he? And again, I'm just going to speak vaguely about it. All the greats do, have some summer that's holy shit, this is Brad. It's just I'm entering the realms of Bradman, who did it every time.
Yeah.
And it was around that time. It was early 2000s where I was man, no one – that was when he was talking about, he was batting with quadrants on the pitch. He just he'd look at the pitch. They were in quadrants. It's like if it's there, it's doing that. If it's there, it's going there. There's the smallest fucking circle you could hit.
Yeah.
For him to just respect it. Otherwise, everything was going.
I know that the conversation of best since Bradman is just a thing whenever that person has a good summer. Because Greg Chappell was the first to 7,000 Test runs. He passed Bradman. He had all the hundreds. Great play. Great records.
And stuff.
All that stuff. I never saw him, so obviously don't rate it. Steve Smith just had that era where that was just some of the best stuff I've ever seen. But for me, Ponting is the best since Bradman, and his record suggests that he's the best since Bradman.
Look, this bloke probably won't appreciate me saying this, but Cowan was and this is a good comment from him because you should always make these things when the opposing argument is at its best. But basically, okay, post-Smith Ashes, which is probably the best series of batting I've seen in yes. circumstances compared to what everyone else was doing.
Same as me.
Not so much on the eye, just on the fucking which is fine. But it was on the eye too, but just the output of it, the sheer output of it and the context and runs in England, and we just never get them. That's when a bit of best since Bradman was happening. Yes. And Cowan was just like, RT Ponting, pack him. Yeah. And you know, like it is difficult to judge a player without them going through the fullness of time.
Yes.
And Steve Smith has barely got near, like, I'm not saying he needs to get near the heights of England, but there's been a drop, you know, like
sharp decline.
A sharp decline.
Yeah.
And that's part of the full story of a great player. It's like what does the decline look like? And people say Ponting's was dramatic, but if it was dramatic, it was quick. But until then, it was like Ponting was just it's like Tendulkar. Like the how prolific it was over how long a period of time leads me to the same conclusion as you, which is BSB.
And now he's doing great stuff with the wines. And we've sampled some over the last couple of summers. And I think we need some in this studio, mate. Because I'm not quite ready for a tipple. I've got to get through the World Cup first.
Okay.
A little break before the summer ahead. But we need some Ponting wines in here. Because when we've sampled it, we've sampled the delights.
Speak for yourself. I'll take some deluxe
ASAP. Some tonight.
Yeah.
Can we get some?
Seriously. I don't mind.
Anyway, no word of a lie. It is very, very good. The wines are very good.
The wine's good.
What are we offering?
Yeah, so successful was this campaign last time. We are reintroducing the same code, which many will remember, which is Get A Few.
Get A Few.
Use the code Get A Few. That's, you know, for those who need this, GETAFEW, Get A Few. And you're going to get 20% off. Now, on the copy I've got here, it just says you're going to get 20% off. What I advise you do is just work out whether that's working for whatever you're buying. It could be 20% off a case. It could be 20% off any product. Just get in there and have a crack at that. But you're getting 20% off Ponting wines, which is a good one. Reasonably priced too. It's not out of reach stuff. Use the code Get A Few. And in the future, these spots aren't going to go for as long, but just wanted to reintroduce Punter back into the show.
Good to have a back.
Mate, I feel fucking, it's a great alignment with the show.
You know what, I feel safe with Ponting wines.
And I've been feeling unsafe last few weeks.
A little bit.
But I feel a bit more security now.
That's pontingwines.com.au. Hashtag RCGC. Matt wrote in. He said, boys, I write regarding your discussions on the teething issues experienced with the migration from MyCricket to PlayHQ from episode 114 of Hashtag RCGC Fridays. That's the Patreon show. Comes out every Friday. I humbly note that I write to you approximately 12 months ago. I wrote to you approximately 12 months ago with serious concerns about this, and you subsequently discussed my concerns in episode 17 of Hashtag RCGC Fridays. Fortunately, the MyCricket app still allows you to track the live scores. However, as I previously worried, a lot of my grade history has been gone missing in the transition.
Mm.
Ooh, okay. This has become more distressing for me because I'm now expecting my first child, a son, earlier next year. Congrats, Matt. Without my full MyCricket history, how do I even prove to my son that I did actually play grade cricket? How do I get him hooked on tracking friend and foe alike on their every move on the cricket field? How do I show him my 4-for-7 off 6 overs and the only outright win of my career? Is cricket even worth existing without MyCricket? Two blokes from the internet, please help. Cheers, Matt.
Getting a lot of correspondence in the last few weeks about issues with both MyCricket and PlayHQ. Now, a good correspondent would actually get underneath this or dig into this and to what's actually gone on. My vague understanding is that that PlayHQ is now responsible for the scores that grade cricketers and grade cricketers only want to see. People have been accustomed now to being able to track scores live. On top, you've got the Frogbox stuff we can watch. I think there's no problem with that. I think Great Cricket's
also on KO.
Great Cricket's on KO.
The T20 Cup is,
feature match of the week or some shit.
Yep.
That's a bit unsettling, I've got to say. That's probably going a bit far. I respect it, and good luck to everyone on it.
Of course, absolutely.
It's just going a bit far for me.
Yes.
This is very disturbing for grade cricketers that they can't actually see what others are doing I see an opportunity within it because it might, for a brief period of time, permit the lies that really made up the fabric of grade cricket.
Love this.
Again. So I'm seeing it on, like, I'm seeing a positive out of it, but more broad, and I don't know what the fuck's going on with like, with this migration. If anyone from both of those companies wants to let us know what the go is, at the end of the day, grade cricketers can't work out who's playing for who, who's done what, and now we're looking at history being erased. You know, that's problematic. Look, a normal person might say, no, there's actually an opportunity in that. Mm-hmm. Like, actually emptying that part of your life is good.
Yes. I think at the beginning of the Bourne ultimatum, I think he lost his identity, but they changed my cue. They wiped his stats. And he lost all his identity. He didn't know where he was. And he was in Prague for some reason.
Okay.
He was playing threes at Campbelltown. Then he woke up and he was in Prague. What happened to my 4 for 6 off 7 and the only outright I've ever had? Lost all sense of self.
I was listening to Batuta Advocate this morning, and Errol Park was on. They were interviewing the Bloody Brilliant Beers guys, and I was enjoying the chat. And Errol Park goes like, "Oh, they were talking about sinking a bottle of Bundy," and he's like, "Oh yeah, a bottle of Bundy. That's where you you close your eyes, black out, and when you open them again, you're in a courtroom."
Bundy, like a brick of Bundy, as it was the turn of phrase back in the day. Like that's something that I can't do again. You know, when you have like a bad experience having that thing, young.
Yeah.
For me, Midori and brick of Bundy. I can't touch it.
Can't do it. Yeah, tequila for me.
Tequila. Yeah. Least favorite shot for me, tequila, no question.
Yeah. You were talking the other day about the cock sucking cowboy. which is much much smoother on the palate, but at 37 you look back, you're like, fuck, it's a very elaborate and kind of but also jarring name, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, 3 cock sucking cowboys, please. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, on to this.
Coined that, yeah.
Do you? I mean, Matt, you want to be showing your kid your My Cricket stuff, really? Mm. Is it good? Like, is your My Cricket still about? People say. What do you mean? What have I done? It is funny. Like you type like Ian Higgins into Google. Like you know, obviously net worth rig. Comes up.
Wife.
Yeah. And then Ian Higgins My Cricket.
Really?
Yeah. It'd be the same for me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy that like was on The Voice called Sam Perry as well. So that hurts. And then there's Elise. It's fucked tough. For Google Images. Yeah.
I don't know if it's. I presume it is, but I haven't looked since last week. You know,
was it on last week?
Yeah.
See, mine's fucked. Like, but I played at the club that just wouldn't input. Mm. You know, which said a lot about the club at the time.
Well, I think I was saying on Patreon the other week that I was trying to look up a score in between Saturdays. So it was a 2-Saturday game, and then I was trying to look up a score in between after day one, and there was no scorecard available. It was just the teams who was playing. I was like, I don't give a fuck about S Johnson.
I
just want to know who did what. If someone's good, who's bad? Who's good, who's bad?
Mm.
I don't know. Couldn't find it. Let's go through some teething issues.
A club cricket is getting a bit greedy, you know, in terms of the data. They
fucking KO. Yes. Yeah. They imagine the egos.
I'm
on TV today.
Maybe this is good for them. Maybe they can learn what life was like, you know?
It's the rise of print media.
Exactly. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, there is content deluxe coming out on TGC through the ears, through the eyes, through every orifice you want. Mm. You can find all that stuff, whether it be on YouTube. You can get the exclusive audio to all of our daily shows for the World Cup on Patreon, patreon.com/greatcricketer. We are so looking forward to being on stage again on Wednesday this week in Melbourne and also being back out there in the rest of the country. So get your tickets at greatcricketer.com. Anything else, Pez? I'm loving the World Cup, man. This is a great World Cup. I'm having a great time. So if you want to join us on any of those platforms, please do. See you guys on the internet later.